there's a change of plans afoot as climate change suggests that 6 billion carbon-seeking human beings on the planet is actually producing enormous environmental stress. The trouble is, changing plans that have been in force for 3 million years may involve some neurons and some evolutionary biology. And joining us to talk about the neurological impediments to going green, and they're formidable, is John Gertner, who's a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. He joins us from New Jersey. John Gertner, what have you found that scientists are looking at as actual neurological impediments to going green? We don't want to do it. Why?
Well, maybe we should just talk about, rather than green can be a pretty squishy term, so if we looked at, say, climate change specifically, and we looked at different ways we look at risk or consider risk, I mean, we have two ways of sort of considering risky things. We sometimes can look at it in a very analytical way, where we balance cost against benefits and sort of think about that and how it stacks up. And another way is that we're sort of very, I guess you could say, hardwired to look at risk as a feeling. We sense something as risky and we act accordingly. When we feel risk as a feeling, we usually act quickly. We usually draw on our own experience that something is dangerous, that we have to act. Unfortunately, neither one of these systems for assessing risk is that helpful in climate change. We consider it something that's far away, both in time and in place. And even when we're using our analytical systems, when we're trying to sort of balance costs and benefits, it doesn't seem to take advantage of our cognitive abilities. We have a certain kind of bias for valuing near-term costs or consumption over long-term benefits. We seem like we might be built to fail, I guess you could say.
Well, or at the very least, built to only respond to climate change when the rising waters are up around our knees. Is that what the scientists are saying?
I think, as they say, you know, immediate risk will engender immediate action, and at the moment, we're not there.
Are there strategies for human beings to transfer that kind of long-term risk into some sort of a short-term urgency to change behavior, to preserve the settlement, the community, the society?
Well, a lot of our energy and a lot of our dollars goes into looking at climate change and through either the physical sciences or the biological sciences. You know, anybody who reads the science pages or even the news pages can see that, you know, week after week or month after month, we keep getting, you know, more and more information. Much of it is fairly distressing, but not a lot of dollars or focus has been on human behavior. And the question, I think, might be, if we get more studies or more information, does that persuade us and move us towards action? Or, as you know, I've spent the last few months with some decision scientists and behaviorists at Columbia University, is the key to addressing global warming, which is really a matter of symptoms of what we're doing. If we look at all these things like rising temperatures and species extinctions, those are symptoms of a warmer world, and the cause really is us. It's human behavior, and maybe the answer, at least in part, isn't just in technological solutions, but in looking at how we might change the way we act and think and decide to do things.
John, I'm a little bit confused. It feels counterintuitive to me, because what you're saying is if we're hardwired not to respond until the water is rising above our ankles, does that mean we can doom ourselves and then perhaps not be able to get out of it? I always had the feeling that somehow as human beings we had the ability to take care of whatever we needed to.
Well, I think if you look at the science of climate change, I think by the time, say, oceans are rising to a certain point, there's a certain amount of positive feedbacks that kind of kick in that are fairly worrisome, whether it's, you know, methane in the atmosphere I don't really necessarily think you can quickly reverse a rise in temperatures of say, you know, 3 or 5 degrees centigrade. So I think by the time climate change becomes a matter of, direct experience, what we might say is that perhaps by then it's too late to really act decisively.
Well, the National Center for Atmospheric Research has just published a study which suggests that if we were able to cut emissions of greenhouse gases by 70% in this century, that we could avoid a lot of the scientifically valid and reliable sort of consequences of climate change. And that suggests enormous behavioral changes. And I guess part of what your article is talking about is, do environmentalists suddenly think that investing in figuring out how humans perceive risk, coming up with strategies for changing behavior, are actually better investments than the kind of E.O. Wilson scare people to death to try to get them to change, that these are better investments than simply informing people like Al Gore has been doing?
It's a great question. I don't think I could begin to say that environmentalists as a whole think this. And in fact, I would say it's a sort of insurgent view, perhaps. And I also think if you look at the funding of something like the National Science Foundation, of where science dollars go in terms of climate research, it's a very tiny part. I think we're talking like 2 or 3% would go to social science research. And even if we look at that 2 or 3%, just a little sliver of that is going to sort of behavioral research. Some of it is looking at, well, how will people adapt, so to speak, to a warm world? Or how can, you know, farmers, so to speak, adapt? So I think amongst a small number of people, there's this notion that, well, you know, it's not that technology is going to be the answer, or more information or better climate models that can more precisely pinpoint exactly what the temperatures or heat waves are going to be like, but that if we're going to introduce new technologies and if we're going to introduce new policies, then maybe we need to understand a little bit what right. people will accept.
And it makes all the difference whether it's predictive and preventative or if it amounts to a lot of kind of anthropology. Why the humans ended up like the dinosaurs. The investment in behavior change is all about, is exactly what you were writing about, John Gertner, in the article in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. John Gertner is a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, talking about limitations in behavior and brain science as to why human beings have difficulty going green. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.